the Brother Frank.
Now we ask Brother Frank. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God, for His grace and faithfulness, for the privilege that we can be gathered in His name to hear His precious and holy word in the original. We welcome all of you from near and far. I see visit from Finland, from the far north, from all the neighboring countries, Czech Republic, Poland, Slovakia, Austria, Italy, again as so often from all the countries of Europe. We are gathered to hear God's word and to experience our preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we have greetings to give to you from Brother Wallström from Denmark, Brother Graf from Switzerland, Brother Rigobert from Benin, the brethren from South Africa, from Kenya, and from other parts of the world. They are sending greetings. I just take myself the liberty to mention that today our sister Lisicki can also be here again. She told me last Sunday in Zurich, only when I am over 100, then one can speak of age. In the moment, I'm only 97. Just 97. And about age, we speak sometime later. Yes. This is, of course, a wonderful grace. Then we greet all in all of the world, especially our friends in Abidjan, who are arranging meetings in the stadium. In the second half of September, they shall take place. We wish them God's blessings and success. The meetings shall be announced over the TV and over the newspapers, and we hope that the stadium will be filled with people who will hear God's word. Then I would like to especially greet and welcome all those who are here today for the first time. May I ask, do we have someone for the first time in our midst? Please raise your hands or please stand up. Yes? Of course. Be welcome. Then we have our brother Willy from London here, also here for the first time. Where is Brother Willy from London? God bless you in a special way. Then our brothers from Brussels and Paris and Lyon and from all over France, from everywhere. Today, 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting in Lyon, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday with the brethren, Sunday a meeting. And Brother Kupfer and myself, we spent some nice hours together, like in old days. And we could speak about what God has done great things for us. Maybe also the remark here, the meetings in Romania were especially blessed. I think it was a building of 1,500 people, and the building was packed. And for the glory of God, I may say, after the Sunday morning service, I was already sitting down, and then it spoke in my heart, go again to the speaker's desk and ask who of all the audience is already baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to my judgment, all the hands went up. I was so happy on my inside to see such a crowd before me who are all biblically baptized, and I wanted to sit down, and then it spoke in my heart, ask nevertheless if there are still some here who are not yet baptized biblically. And behold, about 30 hands went up. And then I said, please do not leave this building. Come to the front, and the brethren will tell you when your baptism takes place. And all who raised their hands came to the front. And it was just a blessing which one could feel, which one could experience. We are very, very grateful to God. And if I look back in the recent times, especially what God has done in South America with all our brothers and sisters there, then it fills me really with great, great thankfulness. Also today, we wish all our brothers and sisters in Chile, in Peru, in all of South America, we wish them with all our hearts God's blessings. We are really glad about that into all the world transmission can be done, and that all the world can hear and see. And thanks be to God, now we can, people can listen in 7 languages. They can join us. And so we thank God that He gave all these possibilities, and that He has given brothers who can do all these things. That's how it was in the days of Moses. God told Moses what He wanted to have done, and all who were commissioned to some work, they received from God the grace and the wisdom to carry out, to carry it out in the exact way as it was shown to Moses on the Holy Mount. It's just so nice that whatever God does is done perfectly. He equips, He enables, He gives grace. And as we were reading it here, He placed ministries into the church. Today we will speak about it. But firstly, I may not forget to give you also these greetings here from our brother Cesar from Peru, and of course also from brother Joey. And then we have the announcements here. I leave them for tomorrow. And I would like to just refer very briefly to that and to deal with that, what is going on also, especially in Israel and in the Lebanon. We can indeed see that Bible prophecy is taking shape. Peace and safety. That's how it is written in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, from verse 1 to 3. And then we see how the international troops is taking care there for the peace, and the negotiations about Jerusalem are taking their course. Brothers and sisters, I have here with me some articles from the internet about that, what is happening on the religious level, uniting and again uniting of all Christian churches and denominations. Now even the World Conference, which took place in Prague from the 8th to the 11th of August, where for the first time the Adventists were there, who time and again were attacking the papacy and who are exposing it. Also, they were there. They are represented all over the world by 15 million who are baptized and by 20 million who are joining them as visitors. But here comes now the uniting in the doctrine, namely, the foundation of the faith are, point one, the Gospels, point two, the Holy Scripture, point three, the Trinity, point four, Jesus Christ, point five, the justification by faith, point six, the new birth, point seven, the unity in the Spirit, point eight, the resurrection. Yes, and if one reads things like that, then it makes a great impression. And announced from the 6th to the 10th of August 2007, a second meeting shall take place, where to the Adventists the opportunity will be given to show forth the things which they believe differently, to speak about the Sabbath and about Ellen White, the co-founder of the Adventists, and about the judgment before the return of Jesus Christ, and so forth. Everything is uniting. Everything is finding and coming together. In the same way it must be on the other side with the true church of Jesus Christ. The true church is not the uniting of, let's say, 100 or 275 denominations. The true church is the union of all those who are coming out of all these 275 and who submit themselves under the mighty hand of God and who believe the word of God and who put it also into practice. The Evangelical Alliance at the moment, it has 420 million members. And then, of course, the Adventists are added, and this is a large number. Then we have here, again, just briefly, the declaration from Rome, namely, from the 23rd of August. I'm reading, Pope Benedict XVI has the topic, Come, Lord Jesus. And then it says here, the Holy Father opened the understanding to the 8,000 believers for the probably most difficult book of the Holy Scripture, namely the Book of Revelation. And then, right at the end, it's written here, we want to expect the Lord with a believing heart. Therefore we pray, Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22:20. I was thinking in this connection on Luke 24 from verse 29. Maybe we should read this scripture where the Lord, our Redeemer, himself spoke about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Luke 24 from verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. Listen closely now. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. In verse 32, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" No man, no preacher, no prophet can open unto us the understanding for the scripture. Only our Lord. And only in connection with this, if he can speak to us through his word, showing us the fulfillment of scripture. With God, everything is without theory. Everything is connected with reality. But we leave everything as it is. No man can change it. Important is that we make use of the grace which God has given us, and that we redeem the time, knowing that the time is serious and short. The Bible speaks of the end time in many scriptures. One could speak also about Israel, about the returning of the people of Israel from 143 countries of the earth, about the fig tree, about all the other nations. Because in Luke 21, it is really written, when the fig tree and all the other trees get tender, Luke 21. One should read here from verse 28-29. Not only Israel, also all the other nations received their independence after World War II. During World War II, there were still 49 nations under the British mandate, who all received now their independence. Not only Israel as the people of God, but all the other nations also received their independence. And our Lord says, when you see these things coming to pass, then you know that it is near, even at the door. Today, we will really deal with that, what concerns us, what concerns the Church of the Living God. It is not our task to judge others. Each one is judged by his Lord. And our task is, especially tonight, to help all the brethren and sisters, and especially all the ministering brethren, to help them to find their balance in the word, in the doctrine, in the proclamation. And to this, for this, we will read now some scriptures. Before we do this, and I'm asking you to forgive me, here I have a couple of hundred pages from the USA, from brothers. It's a whole team who take quotes of Brother Branham, who composed them all together without looking into the scriptures. Just to speak about that, be it the 10th mission or 7 thunders or whatever it might be. It is just like this, brothers and sisters, that people have no fear of God. And if they have no fear of God, then they have also no respect before the Word of God. If in Revelation 10 it is written clearly that the 7 thunders utter only their voices when the Lord with the open book descends as the angel of the covenant, putting one foot upon the land and the other foot upon the sea, then I of course cannot say that this has happened someday already. No, this happens only then when that what is written finds literal fulfillment. Every interpretation is of course that what people are putting themselves together. What have we to do with it? To us it is only about the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, about the true biblical teaching, so that we are really found in the Word. This we have emphasized many times. The bride church must be a church which came forth of the word seed. Time and again, we must emphasize it. The germ of life is in the seed, and the seed is the word of God. And if the word of God is laid into us, and if we die with Christ, then the seed comes up, and the life which was in the Son of God comes by the new birth into all sons and daughters of God. This is not a theory. These are biblical truths which we just have to acknowledge and which we may experience by grace. Let me start with Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, a very well-known word to all of us. Hebrews 4, from verse 11. Hebrews 4, from verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of disobedience. You see, it is about obedience. Disobedience led to the fall. And we all know what happened in the Garden of Eden. And disobedience is really our and the people's perdition. Then, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Then I would like to read some verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The key is to follow Jesus. Follow me. Take upon thee thy cross and follow me. He who follows him shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Verse 24, in John 8, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So, it is not only about a faith in general and global, which is blurry, but a faith in Jesus Christ, that he himself is the Lord, the great I Am, who already revealed himself in all of the Old Testament as the I Am, walking in the Garden of Eden, speaking to the prophets, and then he could say, before Abraham was, I am. Here, in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him. Here we see now the difference. One time the Lord speaks in parables, let's say in the Sermon on the Mount, to the multitudes. Then he speaks to those who believe on him, who believe that it is him who redeemed us, who came to us. If ye abide in my word, if ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And only then comes the verse, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is not only written like this. This we experienced personally. By his grace we recognized who Jesus Christ is. Namely, that he himself is the Lord, as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. No one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It must be revealed. So, we could recognize him. And we abide in his word. And we know the truth. And the truth has made us free. Verse 43, in John 8, verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Now, again, the multitude is addressed. The scribes are addressed. Those who rebuked him, who criticized him. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot even hear my word. This is actually the big trouble. People are not ready to hear. They don't want to hear. Because if they would hear, then God could speak to them. Because faith cometh by hearing. But if one doesn't want to hear the preaching, where shall then the faith come from? And therefore, our Lord says, why do ye not understand my speech? And then, even because ye cannot hear my word. Let us hear. Let us hear with all our hearts what the Lord has to say to us through his word. Now, verse 46 and 47. Who of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Why? If I say the truth to you, why do ye not believe me? Then, verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. He that is of God heareth God's words. To this, we could take many scriptures. Today, it is upon my heart to say a few things of what happened in the early church. I wrote down some scriptures to it so that I have them before me without that I have to seek a long time or that I have to read. Chapter 15 of the book of Acts shall today, and God willing tomorrow, shall be our subject. In Acts 15, we have questions which were answered. And there are two main statements. Acts 15, verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets. Acts 15, verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. We all know what happened before. In chapter 14, there was Paul and Barnabas. They were on their way, on their missionary trip. And behold, it came to pass when they came to Jerusalem that some brothers who before were of the party of the Pharisees, they just demanded that the Gentiles who believe also according to the law of Moses, that they should be circumcised. And then, as written, in verse 2, there was a stir up. There was a dispute with these men, and with Paul, and with Barnabas. And then there was a gathering of the responsible brothers together with the church. And this I want to emphasize today. That what God says unto us must be confirmed in His Word. No new doctrine. Nothing can be added to the counsel of our God. He didn't forget anything. He was thinking on everything. And with a humble heart, we may say, He revealed His Word from Genesis 1 up to Revelation 22. Many mysteries. Brother Branham lists in one sermon 7 mysteries which God revealed. Most certainly there are many more. Today it is, I think also for the Lord it is today about to say unto us and to the church worldwide, to all the brothers, to say to us that there is a divine order in the church of Jesus Christ. That to all the brethren and to all the believers has to be said that not all can do what they like. In the church, the Lord has to say so. And the decision must always be in agreement with all of the Holy Scripture. The several stages of this event I wrote down. Acts 15:1-3, the believers from Judea. Judea, the main area. Judea had already a reputation, a name. And now believers are coming, and they are coming up with the subject of circumcision. But they were not sent. They had no commission. That just caused a dispute. And this we don't need. We don't need people who just go somewhere and bring some subjects for an argument. We need men sent by God who carry the word of truth and who preach it. Acts 15, verse 4. The church at Jerusalem comes together with apostles and with the elders to confer with one another. What shall now happen? The question was actually biblical. Circumcision. It was commanded by God to Abraham. It was the covenant sign in the Old Testament. And, of course, for the believers of Judea, it was a very important thing. But now, they were dealing with believers from the Gentiles. And this one just has to know that God has a divine order, an order where all the things must be placed there where they belong. Acts 15, verse 5. Brethren, who were before of the party of the Pharisees, they were demanding the circumcision and the keeping of the law of the believers from the Gentiles. And now they wanted to force Judaism unto the believers from the nations. And this is not right. God made a new covenant, and the old covenant merged into the new covenant. A new beginning, a new heart, a new spirit. God makes all things new. Then, in verse 7, Peter rose up And this I would just like to read. Here Peter says, and one could say that he was thinking much of himself, but he just said and did for what he was commissioned by God. Acts 15, verse 7 and 8. Maybe 9. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. This was a clear language. And then he refers to the confirmation which the believers from the Gentiles experienced. Verse 8. And God, who knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Here we have now the divine confirmation. The believers from the nations heard the preaching, and during the preaching they experienced everything on one single day, in one meeting. Repentance, believing, justification, new birth, spirit baptism. Everything they experienced in one single meeting. Under one single preaching they experienced it. You can read it in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I read because of time. I read from verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto us, the witnesses chosen before of God. And now comes something wonderful. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Is this not a wonderful testimony? Peter, who was accompanying the Lord, and who also denied him three times, and nevertheless, because God was merciful, and if you read it in Acts 1, verse 15, he said, Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Now something comes very important. This Peter, before being filled with the Holy Spirit, he already was led by the Spirit by saying in verse 16, Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before. Right in the first minute, where he opened his mouth among the 120, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he went right to the scripture and he showed how that what was written, how it had to be fulfilled. Then there are also people today, brothers, who say, the election of Matthias there, this was not right. God chose Paul. But Peter said something very important before the election took place. Namely, it must be someone who was part of it from the very beginning, from the baptism of John, who walked with us the whole way from the very beginning. That's how it's written here. Acts 1, from verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied us with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So, not just by random, but a divine appointment. Someone who witnessed everything, who saw it, who experienced it, who is a living witness. The commission which Paul had was, of course, going beyond of that what our brothers had here, because he had a commission in connection with the plan of salvation for the whole church, and who left to us the Bible teachings. Now, we come to Acts 15, verse 8. And God bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Brothers and sisters, we have said it in Romania and also last Sunday in Zurich. We cannot only just quote Acts 2, verse 38. We must also include verse 39 in our preaching. In verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. This is the first part. And the second, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Brothers and sisters, the promise is unto us. And if the beginning of the believers from the Gentiles was as the beginning at Jerusalem, with the believers from the Jews, then we must really expect that the end with the church from the nations must be that way as at the beginning. Not only water baptism, but also the spirit baptism. Also this, one must say very clearly here. In water baptism, we make the confession to our Lord. In the spirit baptism, he makes confession to us. The one is our confession of faith in obedience by being baptized after we repented and after we experienced our conversion. We are baptized. And then God answers by opening the heaven. Of course, the heaven is already open on the day of Pentecost. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place in Samaria. In Acts 8, no one needed to wait for it. In Jerusalem, they were told to wait. And 10 days passed. From that day on, no one needed to wait any longer. be it in Acts 8, in Samaria, be it in Acts 10, be it in the other chapters. It belonged to it that people who believed and who were baptized, that they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen closely what is written here in Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Again, from verse 43. To him, to our Lord and Redeemer, give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. This is a confirmation of John 21. Verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, them they are remitted. The remission was preached, and those who believed experienced their forgiveness. Not one man forgives the other, but God forgives us. But as I said before, faith cometh by hearing. And by the preaching, people are connected with God, and they pray, and the Lord reveals himself to them. So, in the moment when Peter spoke out this sentence, I read it once again, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What happens? With the whole house, it was done in one blow. They believed the preaching of the man of God, and the Holy Ghost came upon them as the confirmation that they believed. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I'm thanking the Lord for such a report. And I wish myself a repetition of this experience with all of the church. A repetition with the whole church, that when the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, and when people are made aware that they are reconciled with God, that their sin and guilt is forgiven, then nothing more is left but then to call upon the name of the Lord. And it's of course written, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here it is written so nicely, through his name. One has to call upon the name of the Lord. And then comes forgiveness, grace, and salvation. Now I'm asking you, do we wish ourselves a repetition of that, what was at the beginning? If yes, let us believe with all our hearts that Jesus Christ is the same. Without our own imagination, without our own efforts, just everything worked by God himself. In verse 9, and he made no difference between us and them. Then, in Acts 15, verse 13 to 18, James was speaking, and he said, and to this agree the words of the prophets. Today it is about that we are brought into agreement with God and His Word, with everything, that we agree with everything what the prophets announced, what the apostles were teaching, and what our brothers and sisters experienced at the beginning, that we indeed make the same experiences with God. In verse 23, we have the decision of the brothers who came together as a church, apostles, elders, and the church. And here it says, we, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch. And let them know our decision by sending the brothers with Barnabas and Paul, or Silas, one of them too, sending the brethren so that they testify of that what was decided. Verse 25, 26, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our own beloved Barnabas and Paul. 26, men that have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So brethren, who were in the ministry of the Lord, they were sent with them to confirm that what was decided in Jerusalem by the Spirit of God, in agreement with that what prophets already have written. Brothers and sisters, that's what's about today. Only that what is written in the Holy Scripture. Here we have the whole plan of salvation of our God. Every event which is connected with the plan of salvation on all levels, whatever might be in Bible prophecy, everything is in one single book. And this one book does not permit any interpretation. Not one. Not one interpretation. Also not of that what Brother Branham has said. And actually it's like that, that Brother Branham delivered a crystal clear message. We were brought back to the origin, back to the Word of God, back to the beginning. But if he then in Phoenix says, I come again, and brothers make a doctrine out of it, that he meant with it that he will return after his death, then I of course get into an holy anger. Yes. And if he says, I will ride this trail once more, then I just leave it as he said it. I have only one obligation, and this is toward God and His Word. And for everything else, God will take care of. Here it continues in Acts 15, verse 27. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. The church at that time was the manifestation place of God. Ministries were in the church. The Holy Ghost was at work, and therefore the decision, it was the decision of the Holy Ghost. And here's the point. Our brothers at the beginning were under the anointing, under the leading and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, it must be now at the end. All the ministering brethren must be under the same leading and anointing and inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And then we will speak one language. We will say the same things in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the world. Then we have the same gospel, the same teachings, because we received the same Spirit. In verse 32, we are told, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves. So, in the early church, there were apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. The fivefold ministry. The three first ones, and for us at the moment, also the important ones. Evangelists, there are many. And pastors are also in a large number. But where are the apostles? Where are the prophets? Where are these men who say things the way as the Holy Spirit said it at that time? An evangelist has it very easy. Today, I was reading in a magazine, Idea Spectrum, about Billy Graham. And one came to the conclusion that he represents the doctrine that all mankind is reconciled. And I was thinking by myself, that man who in 1950 was called the machine gun of God, who probably traveled to 185 countries, he comes in his old age, he comes to the conclusion that all are reconciled, which means that all of mankind will be saved. And this is an absurdity. This is really not true. But let us leave this now. I just wanted to say that evangelists have, of course, doctrinally no responsibility. Let the evangelists preach the gospel. May the pastors do the work of a shepherd. But let them leave the doctrinal things to the teachers. Let them leave the prophetic part to the prophets and to the apostles the apostolic part. And I say this here, and I say this to all the brethren worldwide in the name of the Lord. If you don't fit into the Bible pattern, then you have no commission for the Church of the Living God. All the ministries which God has set fit and belong into the Church and will never cause a disturbance, leave alone a division or a split, but they will serve to line up with God and His Word. So, Judas and Silas, who were prophets themselves, we have two special promises. The one is written in Matthew 23, verse 24, where our Lord said, "Behold, I send you prophets, wise men, and teachers." And then the second one, in Luke 11, verse 49, also, "For thus saith the wisdom of God, I will send you prophets and apostles." This means, we in our time, we received a double portion from God. At the beginning of the New Testament church, or of the New Covenant, was of course the ministry of John the Baptist, as the promised prophet, and the preparer of the way. And then came the founding of the church. And then the ministries and the gifts in the church. For our time, we have the promise, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. This is the main promise. But now, after this main promise is being fulfilled, namely as the calling out of the church is taking place, the church has to be brought back into the divine order with all the gifts, with all the ministries, with everything what belongs to it. And therefore, our Lord took already care of it. And both, be it Matthew 24:23 or Luke 11:49, thus saith the wisdom of God, I will send you prophets and apostles. This is the build-up in the church. Let us remember, in Jerusalem, the dispute about circumcision. And then was not the opinion valid of this brother or that brother, but it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these four necessary things. And by this, it remained. Until today, there, no one has to come with circumcision, no one has to come with Sabbath, or with days, or with special feasts. But we have been brought back as the church from the nations back to the original foundation as it was laid at the beginning. And back to the teachings which were at the beginning in the church. Then we have the wonderful word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 28 where the first three ministries are shown to us, that God really placed these ministries into the church. And brothers and sisters, let us now be honest. If we may be the church of Jesus Christ in this time, then we must expect the Bible pattern. There's no other way. There's no other way. In the full restoration of all that, what God promised, it must become visible in the church by grace. God, of course, didn't give us a theory, but He gave us wonderful promises. And these we may expect, and we also may experience them together. 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then comes Paul again to the point. Are all apostles? Of course not. Are all prophets? Certainly not. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. But each one, everyone receives from God that what God has ordained for him. Every member. Not all are prophets, not all are apostles, not all are teachers, but all are pardoned and all have the right to the same blessings and all belong to the church of Jesus Christ, to the church of the firstborn. we may say this here for your comfort and for your edification, that all who believe now the divine message, who really believe, who really can believe, as the scripture says, this is already a sign that you are chosen by God. Doesn't matter whether you are at the beginning of the journey or whether you are a bit more advanced. If you can believe what the scripture says, please take it from the hand of the Lord. Then God has chosen you and predestinated you from before the foundation of the world. And we were also reading it, that all who are of God are hearing God's words. We are reading it. The Lord said to the scribes, you don't hear because you are not of God. But he who is of God heareth God's words. He heareth the voice of our God. Let us summarize for us as the church here, namely with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Here Paul writes about the church as follows. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here we have it again. This is just the divine order in the church with the various ministries and the various tasks which God has given to the church. The first experience is the conversion, the turning to God, the receiving of Jesus Christ our Lord as Redeemer. And brothers and sisters, today is the day of salvation. Today, God wants to save, wants to deliver, wants to heal. Today, God wants to give grace. Today, he wants to reveal himself. Today, he also wants to show all brethren worldwide that the divine order returns into the church, that everything must be placed biblically, and that nothing can be added or taken away, but that a full insight into the counsel of our God takes place. We don't need any man who presents himself as a prophet or who himself presents as an apostle or someone, but we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We need the insight into the plan of salvation of our God. And then comes the same anointing upon the church. And by this, all are coming into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Please, don't forget the three scriptures. I think we mentioned them in Zurich. Matthew 26, verse 39. Not as I will. We mentioned Mark 14, verse 36. Not what I will. A difference. The one in prayer of our Lord. Not as I will, the other one, not what I will. but what thou wilt. And then comes Luke 22, verse 41 and 42. Not my, but thy will be done. This is our Gethsemane. This is our way to Calvary, to die with Christ. This the Lord didn't say when he was healing, but in Gethsemane, on the way to Calvary. Not as I will, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This is my and your way via Gethsemane. In agony, agonizing, until the sweat drops down. Strive to enter the straight gate, for narrow is the way which leads to life. And in this agony, we lay our will into the will of God. And at the same time, we cry out the words of our Lord and Redeemer, not as I will. Matthew 26, verse 39. Not what I will. Mark 14, verse 36. But as thou wilt and what thou wilt. This must be our sincere decision. All of us, especially the elderly ones, we experience many things in our lives to which we can look back, where not always the will of God took place, but the moment has just come that we become true before God and say, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. That I lay my will into his will, being crucified with him, dying with him, being buried with him, rising with him unto a new life. Then Luke 22, 41, 42. Not my, but thy will be done. As a summary. Not as I will, not what I will, but thy will be done. Then we could go to Hebrews 10. In the volume of the book it is written, I am come to do thy will, O God. And in this will of God we are sanctified, but only if we come into the will of God. Brothers and sisters, this sounds very difficult, but probably it is not difficult at all if we don't live for ourselves, but when Christ lives in us, then all this happens more or less automatically. Let us summarize. In Acts 15, the dispute. Today there are many disputing questions. They must be decided before God in the church, namely with lights and perfections. Only with light and perfections. Namely that, what the Holy Spirit already decided here through the apostles and prophets and teachers. This we preach unto you bindingly to all who have an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. I hope that all the brethren worldwide understand what kind of burden I bear before the Lord, what kind of responsibility is connected with it, to bring to all mankind the last divine message before the return of Jesus Christ. And the big sadness is of course not about what went wrong in all the other denominations, but that what happens in our midst, this hurts, and this must become different. God must give grace so that many are still pulled out of the snares and the traps of the enemy, that they being delivered from everything but is not in line with God and his word, and that they let themselves be sanctified in the word of truth, so that we can behold the face of our Lord. I'm just so grateful to God. Grateful, grateful for the holy word which He left to us as a testimony and for teaching. And no one who walks according to the word can go astray. Astray goes only he who goes out of the word into interpretations and into one's own fantasies. May the Lord God give us all grace that we receive the precious redemption by the blood, by faith. And also this may be emphasized. In the blood is the life. And our Lord gave His blood and life. He was the Word made flesh. He was the seed which was promised in Genesis 3, verse 15, up through the whole Bible. He gave His life. And we have seen it on the day of Pentecost. The first redeemed flock was gathered to experience the promise of the Father. And behold, it happened. The heaven opened. A mighty rushing wind was heard. And the Holy Ghost filled all who were present. I expect an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all who hear the word and who believe that God confirms His word in us. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God forever. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Let us sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Only believe. We remain in silent prayer. We are seeking the connection with God. In the preaching, He speaks to us. In prayer, we speak with Him. We are having our heads bowed, and I would like to ask now whether some are here who wish to dedicate their lives to the Lord, who just want to be part of the church, part of the body of the Lord, who simply want to receive Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. According to the scripture, John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Receive it. Believe now in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Redeemer, consciously with all your heart. And in the same moment, you will be saved, pardoned, and you receive the salvation of God, the full reconciliation and forgiveness, because God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. And to us was given the ministry of reconciliation, according to 2 Corinthians 5. And we implore you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. Today, now, are some here who wish to raise their hands? There are some. God bless. Some hands. Great God, you have seen all these hands and also the hearts. We bring to you all who are seeking you, and we ask you, let yourselves be found today, for thus it is written, whoever seeks me with all his heart, I will be found by him. It is still written, seek the Lord while he can be found. O God, bless, save, deliver, heal, bless your people, and especially all the newcomers here and all over the world. Bless with us also all who were asking for prayer. Bless Sister Rauf and bless her son in the intensive unit, care unit. Be with him. May your hand come upon him in this hour. And also all the other prayer requests we bring to you, Lord Almighty God. There are of course just a few who still call upon you and who ask you for something. Today we call upon you. Today we ask you, bless, heal, deliver, and reveal thyself to you, the Almighty God, to the faithful God, to the eternal God, who revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. To you be the thanksgiving, precious Lord. And today, we would like to thank you for the book of Acts, for the New Testament, for the Gospels, for all the epistles, for all of your holy word. We thank thee. We thank thee. We thank thee, Lord Almighty God. All the world shall hear it. All the world shall believe it, that God has spoken and that God is at work. Praise the Lord. Glorify his holy name. Beloved Lord, baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. You made already the beginning. You are preparing already everything, and it shall come to pass, saith the Lord. He will pour out of His Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Großer Gott,
great God, I would also like to thank you with all my heart that people are gathered here from many languages and from many nations. They are gathered. Precious Lord, on the day of Pentecost, they were coming together from 17 different nations to hear the first sermon of Peter. Dear Lord, I'm asking you, and may you ask us, when has this ever been in recent times that people at one place are gathered, which make up your church, where only that counts what you decided at the beginning, and what you left to us by the apostles and prophets to the church. Dear Lord, we have the pattern, and we ask you, give new life, revive, and bless our brothers and sisters who have patience and who are listening to the translations. Dear Lord, continue to speak, continue to work, and bless us all. Lift up thy countenance upon us, and give us thy peace, and thy blessing. Now, and forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Halleluja! Preise den Herrn! Preise den Herrn! Die Tage der Bibel sind wieder da!
The days of the Bible are here again!
Die Apostelgeschichte wiederholt sich!
The book of Acts repeats itself! Blessed be the Lord, the Almighty God!
Halleluja! 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 Preise!
All things new, all things new.